Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for a new year. Lord, with new things sometimes comes apprehension, uncertainty, maybe even fear. But Lord God, I pray that we would go into the new year with confidence because we go with you, Lord God. I pray as we get into your word, may you speak to us, empower us, speak into our lives, Lord God. And Lord, we give you this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Now in 1942, Desmond Doss enlisted in the army as a combat medic. His motivation, of course, as you know, in that time, 1942, what was going on in 1942? World War II, right? At the time, he wanted to help save lives, not take lives. His peers were enlisting in the army, and there was great patriotism and to serve, and he wanted to go, but he wanted to save lives, not take lives. He described himself as a conscientious cooperator. He refused to pick up a rifle, not even just to shoot it, but even pick up a rifle. Well, during training, he faced a lot of harassment. He faced nearly being court-martialed because of his conviction to not pick up a rifle. He maintained his adamant stance, and he was given every reason and every opportunity to not continue. He faced trial, but it turned out that he was not convicted. He was not court-martialed, and he was allowed to be a combat medic without having to pick up a rifle. So still, Desmond Doss, he went on to serve with the 77th Infantry Division in the Pacific Theater. Now, if you know World War II, the Pacific Theater and the Isles in the Pacific, that was a very brutal, brutal aspect of the war. Of course, you know, the war had a lot of brutality, but in particular, those battles on those islands were very, very brutal. Doss would go on to earn medals of valor before the brutal battle in Okinawa. And Doss may be best known for his heroics in the Battle of Okinawa. On May 5th, 1945, U.S. forces were forced, they're trying to take over Okinawa, take control of it, and they were forced to retreat down this high ridge upon surging Japanese fire, right? So they're trying to advance, there you go. But because of the Japanese fire, they had to retreat. And they had to retreat down this very steep cliff, down this roped cliff. Doss stayed behind himself alone. And over approximately 12 hours, Doss single-handedly saved 50, it's estimated 50 to 100 wounded soldiers, despite taking enemy fire, and despite the fact that he did not take a weapon, he lowered down his fellow soldiers, wounded soldiers, down this rope device, down this cliff. Doss would later be rewarded with the Medal of Honor on October 12, 1945. How many of you are familiar with this story? Okay? You may have been familiar with the story because it was captured in a movie called Hacksaw Ridge. Have you saw that movie, Hacksaw Ridge? That is a very graphic, brutally violent movie that depicts the realism of that side of the war. But so he was the subject of that movie, Hacksaw Ridge. Now, how many of us wish we had such bravery as Desmond Doss, that you're willing to be so brave to put your life on the line at enemy fire, even though you have every opportunity to not be in that situation, right? How many of us would like to have that kind of bravery, that kind of boldness? I'm sure many of us would like to have that bravery, but not be in those circumstances, right? I'd love to have that kind of boldness, but I really would rather not be in such circumstances as that. I think we can all share that sentiment. We want to be bold, we want to be courageous, but we would rather not be in such circumstances that test our courage, right? We're in a new year. What do you need, or what are you hoping for going into a new year? What are you hoping for? Some of you may be hoping that circumstances will change in the new year. New scenery, lifestyle change, change of habits, change of friends, change of people, whatever it may be. Some of you, maybe you're hoping nothing changes. You don't like change. Things were going well in 25, and you hope nothing changes, right? Maybe that's your particular hope. Today, we're going to look at one of my favorite passages in Scripture, and it's going to include our theme verse for the year. Matthew chapter 14, verse 28 and 29 will be our theme verse for the year. But if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 14. And I love this passage because it's very relatable. I love the relatability of the characters in the moment, but also it displays Jesus' awesomeness in this passage. Matthew chapter 4, starting off at verse 22. It says, "And immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. And while he sent the multitudes away, and after he sent the multitudes away, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone." So what happens after, so the context beforehand, Jesus had just fed the multitudes, the 5,000. And after that, Jesus insists on sending the disciples across the sea. "You go ahead, I will send away the multitudes." Okay? Then Jesus spends some alone time. He spends alone time. He goes up to the mountain to pray. Now, here's another example how Jesus is the perfect model for us. The gospel records that repeatedly Jesus makes conscientious effort and time to go alone to pray with the Father. You think about why. And you think about the most human experience we have, what makes us human. Prayer expresses a need and a recognition of God, right? It expresses our need for God and our recognition of God. It's a form of communication with God, right? It's also a form of submission to God when we pray. And Jesus, he goes and he makes sure he has this time with the Father, that he communes with the Father. All right, so it makes us think about, well, if Jesus made conscious effort to do this, right? This should wake us up of our needs, right? That we should have this need to be alone with God and pray. Have some quiet time, away from the distractions, away from the noise. Send people away of your life. Hey, you know what? You need to go home. I need to hang up. I need to disconnect. I need some time alone with God to pray. It goes on in verse 24. "But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, 'It's a ghost.' And they cried out for fear." Now, this is the second time the disciples were caught out in the sea in a storm. Okay? The first time, Jesus was in the boat asleep. You remember that story? But this time, they are alone. Jesus is not there with them. And it made me wonder, I wonder what they were thinking about. If you were the disciples, you were already caught in a sea, you feared for your life then, but Jesus was with you, you saw what he did, but this time you're alone, Jesus isn't there. Can you imagine some of the thoughts, what they might have been thinking about, right? Maybe they're thinking, here we go again. We're caught in the storm again. Perhaps they thought, where's Jesus when we need him? Why isn't he here with us? Why did he insist to not be with us? Maybe if he was here, he would do that whole quieting the wind and storm trick, and we'd be okay. They obviously would not have suspected what they were going to witness next. As they're fearing in the storm, what do they see? They see a figure walking on the water. And rightfully so, they were frightened. It says here that it was within the 3 to 6 a.m. time, between 3 to 6 a.m. So you can imagine how dark it is on the waters. If you've ever been in the ocean at night, ever been out in the ocean, deep out in the ocean at night, you ever gone out on the boat, you realize how dark it is, right? Verse 27. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." Now, Jesus echoes a common phrase, again, we see in Scripture, right? When God is preparing a people, he has a message for them. What does he say oftentimes? Take courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Again, here Jesus comes and he emphasizes it twofold. Take courage. Do not be afraid. And I don't believe this is coincidence that Jesus says this. This is very profound because if we see in Scripture a pattern, God speaking to his people, saying, take courage, do not be afraid. For Jesus to say this in this moment, he is sending a message. We see his divine authority here saying, take courage, do not be afraid. Now, why does he say that? In Scripture and past, when God is speaking to his people, when he says, take courage, do not be afraid, why should they not be afraid? He always says to them, why? I will be with you, right? What does Jesus say here? Take courage. It is I. It's me. Don't worry. It's me who you see. Do not be afraid. He's saying his presence is enough to not be afraid. Notice what he doesn't say. Hey, don't be afraid. You got this. Right? Jesus could have easily just said, hey, you guys are doing great. You're going to do okay. You got this. You're strong enough. Nothing to be afraid of. I'll see you on the other side. He doesn't do that. He says, don't be afraid because it's me. I'm here. How many of you have someone in your life that you feel secure with? That as long as they are there with you, you have nothing to be afraid of. You have nothing to fear. Perhaps you remember that when you were little, if you were a two-year-old, if you're younger, if you're scared, if you have mom or dad or big brother or big sister, whatever it is with you, you feel safe, right? Maybe you have someone in your life like that. But that person can't always be with you, right? God says, I am with you. Verse 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. Now, this is why this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. This is one of my favorite passages. I need to stop here because to me, this is a very comical moment for me. What if, here's a scenario, right? The disciples are afraid. They think Jesus might be a ghost, so they're scared. Jesus says, don't be afraid. It's me. So Peter says, if it's you, if it's really you, command me come out to you on the water. Now, what if it was a ghost? Right? Peter's uncertain. What if it was a ghost? If I'm the ghost, I'd be laughing inside. I'm going to say, okay, come on out of the water. If you want to die, go right ahead. To me, it doesn't make sense that Peter would do that, right? Why command be commanded to go out on the water? I'd be like, what a fool. Sure, Petey, come on out, right? But does this show Peter likely believed that it really was Jesus? I'm not convinced either way, but this gives good insight into Peter. Peter may not have been certain about much here, but if Jesus was really out on the water, Peter wanted to be out on the water with Jesus. Think about that. He wasn't sure if it was Jesus or not, but if it was Jesus, Peter said, I want to be out on the water with you. Peter wanted to be there with him. Verse 29, and Jesus said, come on out. And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. Awesome. But seeing the wind, and he became afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. So here's what happens. Jesus calls Peter out of the boat, just as Peter desired. Peter got out of the boat and experienced the miraculous. He stepped out of the boat and started walking toward Jesus, already experiencing the miraculous. Wow. But then what happens? He walked and he took his focus off Jesus. Why do I say that? Because he started to see the effects of the wind, the wave, the wind. And something in him said, this should not be happening, right? So what ends up happening? Fear crept in and Peter begins to sink. And as he begins to sink, he cries out, Lord, save me. Now, this is how I picture this moment. He's able to take his steps towards Jesus. But for some reason, while having already experienced the miraculous, Peter loses focus on Jesus, and the fear of realism sets in. I should not be doing this. This is dangerous. And he begins to sink. Now, what stands out to me is there's no beginning to sink when you step out into water, right? You will sink in split seconds. Either you sink or you don't. I've shared before about how my inability, if my life depended upon it, I cannot float. I've shared that with you, right? I've tried. Jamie has tried to teach me to float. I relax my body on the water as best as I can. But what ends up happening, my lower half starts to slowly, if not quickly, sink. And when that starts happening, what ends up happening, I look like the Titanic. I go like this, and I end up dipping. The only way I could float is a dead man float. You know, you float back when you look like a dead person. That's the only way I could float. But that's beginning to sink. When you're trying to float, you begin to sink. If you step out into the water, like if you have a swimming pool, there's no beginning to sink. You're just going to sink, right? I picture Peter sinking along with his faith as his doubts creep. And Peter cries out, Lord, save me. Now, having been a fisherman, I'm pretty sure he knows how to swim, right? He's a fisherman. I imagine he knows how to swim. But the peril of the situation creates a fearful panic in Peter. His confident boldness soon turns into foolishness, right? I'm sure the disciples in the boat are saying, what a fool. Who did he think he was? Verse 31. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, took hold of him, and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, you are certainly God's son. Now, for the third time, we see an immediate action. Jesus stretches out his hand, takes hold of Peter and says to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Jesus didn't leave Peter floundering. "How can you doubt me? I'm going to let you kind of panic and do the tread on water thing for a little bit." Immediately, he stretches out his hand. His response to Peter points to the reason for his sinking. Why did Peter sink? He didn't sink because of gravity. He didn't say, "Peter, you foolish person, you can't walk on water. Don't you know gravity, right?" Peter sank due to his little faith. He doubted. Think about it. Where do you think Peter directed his faith? In the moment, where did Peter direct his faith? Did he have little faith in himself? Did he have little faith in Jesus? What did Peter doubt? Did he start doubting he could do it? Right? Did he start doubting Jesus would continue to let him walk on the water? Right? It could be it very well could be a combination of all those doubts, right? During fearful situations, we experience all sorts of fears and doubts, right? We could probably relate to a lot of those things in fearful moments. You may ask, "Am I even good enough in this situation? Am I capable enough for what the situation is requiring of me? Am I built for this?" How many of you have asked that, right? Is the situation too difficult to overcome? What if God lets me flounder? What if I take those steps and God just lets me fail? What if I do this and I fail God? What if I don't have enough faith for the moment? What if you think, "This isn't realistic for me to do this," right? Those are all questions that are relatable, right? I think we can all relate to those moments and those situations and those questions. And I think we can relate to mixing up faith in God and faith in ourselves, right? We think, "I don't know if I have enough faith in myself. I don't know if I have enough faith in God." I believe Peter took his focus away from Jesus. He saw all the reasons to be afraid, and that took over his faith in Jesus. All the reasons to doubt chipped away at that bold faith that led him to take those steps out of the boat. Jesus takes Peter's hand, took hold of him, lifted him up, and they both got into the boat. And I kind of picture Jesus tossing Peter over the boat like a fish, you know? Peter's a fisherman. He's like, "Here, Peter, get into the boat." And now you know what fish feel like getting in the boat, right? But Jesus, his outstretched arms, picking him up, lifting him up. And notice what happens when they get into the boat. When they both are in the boat, the wind stopped. Now, I want to point out something in the story. All the disciples seem to arrive at the same point of believing faith. Those who are in the boat, everyone who witnesses, worship Jesus, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Now, did they fully understand what that meant? I don't think they fully understood what they're saying, but they knew this was not any ordinary man. You must be of God, right? And they all worship Jesus as if they were worshiping God, a praise that was reserved for God. But all the witnesses came to the same conclusion of Jesus. However, only one person was bold enough to take steps out of the boat. Only one person in this story walked on water with Jesus. Only one person experienced the Lord lifting him up, saving him out of the waters. And only one disciple is named here. That's Peter. If you could put yourself in this moment, in this passage, knowing what you know, what happened, if you could put yourself in this passage, who would you be? Who would you want to be? Would you want to be Peter? That Peter took out those steps He took those steps, those miraculous steps on the water, and yes, he did sink. Yes, he kind of started to lose doubt, but Jesus saved him, got into the boat. Or would you rather be one of the disciples? Hey, you witnessed the miracle. You witnessed the miracle. You came to the same conclusion as Peter did. You were able to stay in the safety of the boat, right? There's no right or wrong answer to that question. Some people are very risk averse. How many of you are risk averse people? You don't like risks. You don't like change. You don't like putting yourself out there. You want to be comfortable in your bubble, right? Understand that. Some of us are like that. So maybe some of us would rather have been the disciples in the boat. We're safe. We came to the same conclusion. We witnessed the miracle, and that's good enough for us, right? I just find the situation with the disciples so relatable. Because I think the most common experience that of the disciples who remain in the boat, those are the ones that people can relate to the most. We would rather have been in the boat. We love to witness it, but we don't need to be the one to take those steps out of the boat. We don't need to be the one who puts risk aside for the sake of a miraculous moment, right? Some of those disciples, they weren't looking to be heroes. They weren't looking for faith-challenging moments. They were looking to just to be safe in the boat, right? I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Jesus doesn't say, hey, how come you guys didn't want to come out on the boat, right? He doesn't say that. But Peter's experience is probably more relatable to us than we think. Though you would not want to be the person to dare Jesus to call you out of the water, you probably can relate to that feeling, the sinking feeling. How many of you can relate to that? In a moment, you started out wanting to have faith, bold faith in God, and you're in the moment, but you're realizing all the danger, all the things to fear, all those things to worry about, and your faith starts to sink, and you're feeling the sinking feeling, and you come to the moment where you say, Lord, save me. What's going on? Why did you call me out, and I'm sinking like this, right? You probably could relate to bold faith quickly turning into feeling like prideful foolishness, right? Here's some marinade I want us to think about. Some things to think over. Faith requires boldness. At some point in time, your faith is going to be challenged. Faith in itself requires boldness, especially living in an unbelieving, hostile world. You're going to be put in a position where your faith is going to be tested. Faith will require boldness, but faith is most evident in fearful moments. Trying times reveal the substance of our faith, right? Not good times. Fearful times often reveals the substance of our faith. But faith is most empowered in fearful moments. Think about that. Faith is most empowered during fearful moments. That's when we really experience and understand the significance of faith. When we step out of comfort and we're in situations that are challenging, it doesn't have to be like scary, but it can be uncertain. It can be fearful moments of a different kind, anxious. But that's when we really experience the power of faith. Bold faith, though. Bold faith is not the absence of fear, but rather a faith fixed on God who overcomes fearful moments. When you have a bold faith, you're fixing your eyes on the Lord who overcomes the fearful moments, right? Your bold faith is not a faith in yourself, trusting yourself, but it's in the God who can overcome the fearful moments, right? So bold faith can lead us to sinking feeling moments. I don't want to pretend that it doesn't. Bold faith can lead us to sinking moments. You step out of faith like Peter. You start walking on water, but eventually you're going like this. I can't do too much of that, my knees. It's early, right? You have that sinking feeling. Yes, when you take steps of bold faith, you may experience sinking moments. But bold faith leads us to walking on water moments as well. Right? Bold faith leads us to walking on water moments as well. And bold faith allows us to experience the saving hand of Jesus. Now, I don't know who you chose, which disciple you'd want to be. I'd want to be Peter. Because he's the only one who felt the experience of sinking, but also the exhilaration of the Lord extending his hand, lifting up out of the water, and bringing him back in the boat. Not every moment requires us to be like Peter and do something reckless, right? However, are we open to take bold steps of faith when Jesus says, come on out. Come on. See, we spend a lot of time on the disciples and Peter particularly, but the main character in the story is Jesus. Jesus takes time to pray to the Father. We see Jesus' divinity on full display. He shows mastery over creation by walking on the water and immediately being able to calm the winds. Jesus is Savior and the object of worship in this passage. He is at center stage, and Jesus is the key to bold faith. Our bold faith in Jesus allows us to have those walking on water moments. Now, I don't know about you, I had a pool growing up. I was like a teenager. This passage came to mind, so I thought I'd test it out. I was alone, so I didn't look foolish. I went out in the backyard. I said, okay, let's try this. Stepped out, stepped in the pool, and I started. No, I'm just kidding. I sank. I sank on the water. I did not take one step on top of the water. Right? I sank on the water. See, all those bold moments doesn't need to be literally walking on water, but those moments can look differently to us. But we don't have those moments if we're not willing to have a bold faith to say, okay, Lord, if you're there, call me because I want to be there with you. And I will trust you to help me do what I should not be able to do. I look at my circumstances. The circumstances tell me that you should not be able to do this. You shouldn't do this. You can't do this. But if you are there and you call me out to you, I will go. That's bold faith. It's not just trust in yourself, in your abilities, but it's in the Lord, the God who's there, who calls us out. This is what I pray for us in the coming year. That we have a bold faith, a faith that's fixed on the Lord, that when he calls us out, that he calls us out to him, that we are willing to take bold steps, even though it is scary, even though it looks daunting. Because if he is there, we have no reason to fear. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Lord God, we come before you. Lord Jesus, I don't know how many people here have circumstances in 2025 that was scary, or they're going into the new year with circumstances that they fear or causes anxiety or worry, or things that they just wish was different. Lord, we want to be where you are. We want to be obedient. And Lord, we want a bold faith in you, Lord God. That we want to be where you are, what you're doing. And that, Lord, we would have the boldness and the faith to trust in the Lord, the one who is above and more powerful than our circumstances. May you give us that boldness, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship together.